Hello, Hoovian, and welcome to the third channel, and welcome to a brand new podcast. I'm your host, Tom Mason.
And I'm your co-host, Xander Lang-Whiston.
And welcome to
What We Hear in the Shadows.
Hey, that sort of worked.
Sort of.
So, as you did discover there, this is the first podcast in the Tom Mason empire that is co-hosted with my good friend Xander Lang-Whiston. Now, you will recognise him from multiple things, such as episode 2 of the TV Critic and episode 1, the pilot episode, and then episode 1 of the panel show Time Lords. Now, I will have to talk about the elephant in the room. It is my microphone audio. Now, you're watching this on YouTube, you'll see the wonderful prop microphone that's now being used, because as you can see watching the YouTube video, I freeze, but the audio's all right. So I have to unplug the microphone so that I don't freeze until the new Mac update comes out. Now, the plan for the podcast, I have a plan, and I don't think I did tell Xander the plan, but here is the plan. Today we're talking about the What Do We Do in the Shadows film, which is where the franchise began. Then we'll talk about each individual episode of all three series of the spin-off programme World to Paranormal before we get on to the main programme of What Do We Do in the Shadows. By that point, hopefully, fingers crossed, Series 3 has then come out, and then I'm not looking like weird, only talking about the first two. And then the last series.
Now, oh, I like this. You're a genius. Yeah. I like this.
Now, the way to watch the film, if you haven't already seen it, is three different ways. One is DVD. Two is on Amazon Prime. And three, and I wouldn't recommend the third way, because it's the worst way possible, is a BFI player. Oh, that's awful. Have you ever used a BFI player?
No, but it sounds awful.
I watched, I got it to watch a film called Cinema Paradiso.
Oh,
Italian film. It's the worst film I've ever seen. It took me forever to work out to get the app to work, because you have to go on the website. The website has to be mobile mode, and then you have to play the film to open it in the app, because the app only works if you press play through the website.
Okay, there's a lot of extra steps.
Yeah, and it's useless. So
unnecessary.
Recently, we both rewatched the film What Do We Do in the Shadows film. Now, I've never seen it before until yesterday, so it's all new to me. So one of the ones that is Taika Waititi doesn't look like Taika Waititi at all.
Unrecognizable. So when I first saw this, I didn't know who Taika Waititi was, but I did know who Jermaine Clement was, because I'd seen clips of Flight of the Conchords, and Jermaine Clement looks nothing like he does in real life. He plays I can't remember the character's name, bear with me. Yeah. He plays Vladislav.
Yeah, that's
and
it.
He looks so different in real life. So I was so confused. I was like, I don't know who any of these people are.
Well, I watched an FX behind-the-scenes video from the programme, from the TV, and what they do is, because of Taika Waititi and Jermaine Clement doing the film, and Taika Waititi then becoming popular enough to do Thor, he was filming Thor during them doing the What Do We Do in the Shadows, so he just pops in and directs, and Jermaine Clement's doing all the scripts and everything. And what he does is he takes it from the documentary format. He uses it, and if they go off it, he gets really angry. He uses it to the letter of the law. He uses every single rule, and he doesn't veer off the rules of the documentary world.
Oh, wow. You sort of see it, because it's the plane, it's so real. And yet, like, you know, in things like The Office, you can sort of tell that it's a TV show. Yeah. Whereas in this, it genuinely feels real. Like they're walking down the street, and you can tell it feels like the character Stu. His real name in real life is Stu.
Wow!
So you can imagine that he's just a random guy they've met and been like, "Hey, do you want to be in this documentary?" And they've just got him off the street. I'd love if that were true, but
well, Fun fact about the film. Now, recently, I interviewed Paul Williams, who is the New Zealand Taskmaster assistant.
Oh, okay.
He's the assistant to the Taskmaster in New Zealand. And he was in Wellington when they were filming the film, and he kept on seeing them film it. Or he was in behind the scenes in, like, in the pool, the scene where they're in the pool, and, well, in a pool, in the pub, but they cut it. So he was in the background playing pool, but they cut it. And so when he went to go watch the film, he stormed out. Well, after the credits had already rolled, then he stormed out. And he had to tweet Taika Waititi to say, I'm not trying to stalk you. We just happened to be in the same place at the same time.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
Now we'll go to the not the very beginning of the film, but we'll now move on to talk about the film. Now the format of this podcast will be developed within this episode. Now, on rewatch, do you think this film still stands up to the quality that it is, or do you reckon it doesn't like work as well anymore because of the TV show?
That's a really good question. So have you seen the What We Do in the Shadows TV show?
Yeah, I've seen all two series.
Right. I think the TV show is better.
Ooh, I've got to agree.
But I still think there's a charm to this movie. There are certain things that they do in this movie that they just could not pull off in the show.
Yeah.
Like Stu, just having a random guy and have him join and just have everyone just be like, yeah, we like this guy. Yeah, we'll just keep him around. Like that aspect of it is so cute. It's just a really cute film. So there are aspects of this that I prefer.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, the performances, Jermaine Clement and Taika Waititi. But also the werewolf aspect in the series, they sort of blow over it. It's in one episode and that's it. Whereas in this, like, the werewolves are quite a big part throughout the film, and I really enjoy them as well. So there are aspects that the show has taken and run with that are really great,
yeah.
And those things that they worked on are amazing. Whereas the things that they left behind are also really great, and it's good that they left those things so that the film still has a place,
yeah,
to be enjoyed. So they're both great for different reasons. So yeah.
Yeah, and one of the werewolves sound really familiar.
He's in Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle.
Yeah, he's the talking...
Yeah, the guy who drives.
Yeah, yeah. See, I didn't even think... That's where he seems familiar. Yeah,
that's it.
That makes sense. But I like this film on a completely different level to what you should enjoy it. Now seeing Wellington Paranormal and not have seen the film, and then seeing O'Leary and the other bloke that I can't remember the name appearing in it, and then knowing the facts later on, it just made the film even better. Because
yeah,
one of the original vampires in the film appears in an episode.
Oh, right, okay.
In police custody. It just is a one-off reference because the spin-off show is all Jermaine Clement. Jermaine Clement does the show himself. Taika Waititi has got nought to do with the programme itself. He's just there. Taika Waititi is doing other stuff, but Jermaine Clement does the show. And I think the film works really well, but I agree the programme is better. But I can't remember which one, the one with the Tash and the goatee on his face. I can't remember his character's name.
Vladislav.
That's him. He looks a lot like Matt Berry. I just couldn't get that out of my head.
See, that's it. When you're watching it, you can sort of try and... That's what I was trying to do when I first watched the series. Like, okay, who are they trying to be? And from a distance, you can sort of tell that, like, Matt Berry's trying to be Jermaine Clement. But that's kind of it.
Yeah.
Like I can't imagine the guy from Four Lions trying to be Taika Waititi. And the I can't remember her name, But the female vampire they've got, I can't. She's definitely not doing what the other guy's doing.
Jay, something begin with J. She was the only name I could remember. Jamie or something.
Oh, hang on. We're whipping Google out again. We're
off
whipping
to Google. That should be a segment. Off to Google. When you don't remember something, Google it. That's what I say.
Oh, so the character's Nadia, and she's called Natasha Demetriou.
Oh, yeah.
So no J's at all. No J's at all.
No, but I think Guillermo, which I think I'm saying that in its...
Oh, Guillermo.
Guillermo. Yeah. I think he's a better familiar than she was in the film.
100%. But I think that is just coming from the format of TV because you've got more time. So in this, you've got an hour 25 or something like that. It's really short. And so you've got to fit in this whole world of vampires. You've got to fit in the plot line of them finding a new vampire, bringing him into the fold, then finding a human friend, bringing him into the fold, fighting the werewolves, fighting Jermaine Clement's ex-girlfriend, all this. So things are going to like sort of... And she is funny in her role, but she just doesn't have a very big role. Yeah. And I think that's something the TV show does better is introduce... Like there's a whole world of familiars.
Yeah.
And they're all just completely wasted. It's so funny.
Well, I'm on a lot of What Do We Do in the Shadows Facebook groups now. I've seen someone post an image of it side by side, and apparently in series 3 they make a reference to Four Lions by having like a teddy or something. I've not seen Four Lions at all.
Four Lions is very funny, but very, very funny.
The little teddy thing, I think. Something that one of them holds, that the bloke from Four Lions holds. He holds some form of
object.
And they make
it. I can't remember. It's been a while since I've seen the movie, to be fair.
But they make it appear. But I think what the film does good, that the programme should do, is add Taika Waititi's character into the show, because that's the best character in the entire film.
Well, I mean, he does turn up in an episode. But he's you remember in the show when they have the trial?
Oh yeah.
He's on the council. He's one of the council. All three of them from the film are in the council.
Wow.
Yeah. But yeah, it's would I say Tyke is my favorite? Maybe, because he's got like he's got the most to do, I think.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking this as well. They've all got their individual stuff going on. Apart and he's that. Got his whole thing with his ex-girlfriend that he accidentally got shipped halfway around the world to get there.
The beast.
Oh, yeah, and then Jermaine Clement's got the beast. Yeah. Like, I think Tyke has got some of the funniest moments as well, like with the when he brings the woman home early on and he bites her neck and accidentally hits like a jugular artery and he just springs everywhere and he's like, oh, it's just being wasted.
But it's funny because she doesn't notice what's going on as he puts the newspaper down, just gently just
gets... I was saying this to my friend as we were watching. I said, imagine pulling on a night out, getting back to their place and finding out that it's far too late that they're a vampire. Like, you'd be so devastated. Like, what have I done? What have I done to deserve this?
But I like how, like, they end up recruiting an old woman. Like, she passed her, like, a really old woman, and he ends up just, like, going and biting her.
Oh, yeah, that's his, that's Taika Waititi's, that's the woman he was in love with.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's it. That's just really cute. And then there's the joke at the end when he's like, oh, the age difference, but because he's like 360 and she's 90.
Yeah, but the one thing the film doesn't do right is like how I think it is Vladislav, which isn't a very good name for a vampire. But it's how he then makes the joke about how he's supposed to be 16
Yeah.
I mean, if they were going to do that seriously, they should have got a 16-year-old to.
Oh, it's just a joke. It's just a joke. Like
you can clearly tell he's not 16.
That's the joke. That's why it's funny. Yeah. Yeah. That's what. That. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But I quite like how the film's set in New Zealand, and it's like, because when you think about the program's set in New York, but it's actually filmed in Canada.
Right, yeah.
And so I just think the film has, because what it was when they edited it themselves, Jermaine Clements and Taika Waititi. They edited
they did, yeah.
It and then watched it and then had a watch party in their like little house because they lived together for a while. And it's interesting because you watch it and you don't think, oh, it's them who have just made this off the cuff themselves. It looks really high quality and professional.
It does, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they will have had some money by then, because Taika Waititi would have made Boy,
yeah,
one of his earlier films, and Jermaine Clement was halfway through making Flight of the Conchords by this point.
Yeah.
So they would have had some money between them, but yeah, they just went out and did it. Like that's the dream, isn't it?
And my favorite things about mockumentaries is every time someone runs. The camera running with someone running, when I think it's one of the vampires that becomes a vampire. I think he's called Paul or something. He runs off because he's trapped in the house and he finds the eggs and he runs off and then gets bitten. Off the underground.
Okay, vampire. I've changed my answer. My true favorite character is Peter.
Yeah, that's him, Peter.
The Nosferatu vampire in the basement. He is absolutely hilarious. The fact that it's Deacon. Deacon's the younger vampire, yeah. Not the new one, but like the third one.
Yeah.
When he's telling about how he became a vampire, and he says like he flew over him and he was like a bat, and then he said, "You are now vampires," and that was Peter. And Peter's just sat there and he's like, he's got these massive teeth, and
he doesn't say anything. It's just like he's just character. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he just makes me chuckle, and the character design is so good.
I mean, the whole makeup and the whole set design and the whole film is just brilliant. If you didn't know it was a documentary, if you didn't know it was a mockumentary, you would have thought it was an actual documentary, and the documentary was about people that like dressing up as vampires.
Yeah,
yeah.
It just does look that good. Yeah.
And I read somewhere because I think I must have said this on the TV Critic podcast, where I made a short film, which was a mockumentary, about a subtitle place where this bloke gets a job but he can't actually spell. So he spells the subtitles completely wrong. And the way I learned how to write the script for it was I found on Reddit that someone had got the Kickstarter for the film, got the script that was attached with the Kickstarter, and put the script on Reddit.
Right, so okay. Could
read the script back.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the film script's online, knocking about, and it's and that's really funny, because I don't think Taika Waititi knows this, because he mentioned in a BFI Guru video that none of his scripts are online anywhere, and he wanted to publicise them, but he must have forgotten about putting it on Kickstarter, because it was one of the awards, so if you spent over a certain amount of money, you would be able to get the first script.
Oh, cool. That's fun. I like stuff like that. I like stuff like that.
Yeah, it's a little nod to the creative side. Now, what was the bits in the film that you didn't think worked as well?
That's a really good question. I think... Weirdly, I know it's very short, but there are sections of it that do drag out a little bit, I'd say.
Which bits?
If I had to make like a complaint, I'd say that like the party scene towards the end.
Oh yeah,
it's dragged out a little too long.
Yeah.
And like just as the new guy becomes a vampire.
Yeah. 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 When they're on the pub and he tells everyone, oh, I'm that bloke from Twilight.
Yeah. That's dragged out a little bit. But other than that, I think the movie's really, really solid.
Yeah.
And if you've got the right, if you get the humor, then it's like that. There's nothing that will stop you from loving this film.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you there. It just doesn't work as well because I don't think that it's. I don't like how he compares himself to Twilight. I've never seen Twilight. I don't think I ever will because it's. In the clips I've seen, it looks worse than you'll ever watch.
Yeah, no, don't do it. Don't do it to yourself.
But I feel like even though Michael Sheen's in it, it's still not worth it. But I feel like it just doesn't work apparently because it's just because I don't think they want to try and capitalize on the vampires are all cool because of this franchise, but it just doesn't work because like. It just makes no sense. I like it when they put the vampires in a human sort of scenario where you wouldn't expect the vampires to be drinking in a pub. That's funny, but that should just be there for 2 seconds and then you're over and done with and you move on to the next bit.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work, but I do quite like how it's like in New Zealand. I do like how it's in New Zealand, but it's just an unusual place as a vampire. You think Transylvania, not Wellington in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's like they say, like, there's pockets of us all over the place, and, like, we sometimes just like to hide out in little cities. It's like, yeah, they just house share. Mm. And these 800-year-old men, vampires, and they're all just... house sharing and arguing over who does the washing up. It's like it's so normal, and yeah. They're just the vampires. It's great. Yeah.
Now I don't think you've because I don't think you've seen Taskmaster New Zealand.
I have not.
Well, I think it's when they're walking on the street, I can't remember which bit, but it's where they bump into that female vampire.
Yeah.
Well, she's the actress is called Madeline Sami. Now, from that, she's quite popular because she was in Taskmaster New Zealand Series 1.
Oh, wow. And
she's been a guest many times on the New Zealand panel show, Have You Been Paying Attention? So she's now a quite big deal, and that's what a lot. So one of the writers for Well Into Paranormal, the spin-off film, the spin-off programme, Sam Smith, I've interviewed her, and me and him have had a gym. We were on about Taskmaster, but we found out that he had written for that. And it's with New Zealand because there's not as many, because they make the joke saying there's not a lot of comedians knocking about. So they're in a lot of it. And that's a really interesting thing. Now watching it back, now knowing more information.
Yeah.
It's just really interesting. Now, with the film, would, if you had to choose a character to make a spin-off about, which vampire would you make a spin-off about?
You know what? I don't think I would.
Ooh.
I think I'd want a show about the werewolves.
What do we not do in the shadows?
What do we do in the moonlight?
Ah, that's brilliant. Because I think that would that'd be really good, because I think when the film came out, it was around about the time of the Teen Wolf phenomenon. You know, when everyone was obsessed with wolves. I think take the Mickey out of it would have worked in that time frame.
Like I said earlier, they're only in one episode of the show, which is brutally underused. And in this, they're a big part, and they are so, so funny. And you could even, like... I know it feels like the jokes are kind of obvious, but, like, for the vampires, the jokes seem kind of obvious. But I think there could be something good there of just, like, normal guys who are in, like, a brotherhood. And then once a month they have to chain themselves up to trees so that they don't run riot through the city. Yeah. Like that, there could be something there. Yeah.
Yeah, and because there's not enough programs about like werewolves. There's a lot of programs about vampires and Dracula and all that, and there's not enough about werewolves. So I think that would work, but it'd be more interesting if they do it from the point where Stu's joined them and he's now a werewolf. Because I think that's one of the...
Yeah, like introduce him into the fold, and then we can... Yeah. So that he can be our entry-level character, and we can sort of see how all these things are a bit weird from his perspective. Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be really great.
Yeah, and I just think the film is really well made, because with some mockumentaries, you go for the voiceover aspect, where they have a voiceover. So in Borderline, which is about it's like the security in an airport, and Ralph Whittle is the voiceover for it. And then in This Country, they've got the text, and I quite like how the film goes from the text element rather than the voiceover element, because if you had a voiceover, it wouldn't have worked as well, how the vampires interact with the voiceover. Right, you wouldn't want it wouldn't really work that well.
Yeah, well, they sort of like just take clips from interviews and then just play them over other bits, which is, I think, is much better.
Yeah.
Than just a straight up voiceover. Yeah.
It works quite well. But one of my favourite bits is at the very beginning, when Taika Waititi's character just silently rises out the coffin, and then like, right, I'm gonna go get them all up.
Yeah.
Walks around and wakes them up, because you don't think vampires do just wake each other up, and he's scared of opening curtains. And it's just so brilliant, because it's what the show doesn't do. It doesn't show how they're scared of the everyday.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. The show adds in more wacky adventures. But the movie shows the more mundane side of being a vampire, that's where it's got its ups and downs.
Because
for the show, a new weekly wacky adventure, that's great. That's what you want from a TV show. I don't think you can really do mundane in a TV show. It doesn't work as well.
No.
Whereas in the movie, you can do 20 minutes of wacky, like just boring, normal, everyday stuff from a different perspective, and it'd be great.
Yeah.
And then switch it up and bring in someone else and show them how mundane and normal this is.
But the TV, one thing that the TV show does that I think is sort of like comparisons to the film is when in the show they go to a court, not a court, but it's sort of like a courtroom for complaints. And they go and complain about some of the issues in the city that they're sat in. So I think it's in like series one, I think. And then they're sat down and they're waiting for their turn to go and speak to the council of the local council, not the vampiric council, but it's just the local council, because some of them know that the
vampiric... Yeah, I do remember that. I remember this episode, yeah.
And that type of thing works, because it's what the film did really good. They used it, nitpick, and that's what I think works real well about the film, is about how they don't want to tell anyone the vampires, and so they just look really odd walking down the street wearing like fancy clothing. And I don't think what didn't work is at the very end when they had the familiar turn into a vampire off someone else. That bit just didn't work, because it doesn't pay off. She becomes a vampire just because someone else is bitter.
It just
sort of leaves it on a weird place.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Now, if you had to remake the film in Britain, how would you remake the film?
So, like, who would I cast?
Yeah, who would you cast, and how would you make it more British-fied?
That's an evil question.
And you can't say Matt Berry, because he's already in the American TV series.
And to be fair, that is just a cheat code. I mean, Matt Berry just makes everything better.
Yeah.
See, I'm terrible with actors. I'm terrible with who's good nowadays. But how to make it more British?
Set it in London. Have them all be like modern young people.
maybe not London. Maybe set it in
Yorkshire.
Like Newcastle. Can you imagine like a Geordie vampire?
Yeah. But I was thinking that Richard Iwadi would be hilarious as a vampire.
Yeah, he'd be a bit more of a Taika character, wouldn't he? Yeah. Either Newcastle or like Liverpool. Somewhere northern with thick accents. Even Wales.
Or Scotland.
Yeah, Scotland or Wales. Just somewhere with a thick accent.
I could see Brian Blessed being in it.
That man will do anything. That man will do anything.
Well, he does all the Ladbrokes adverts.
He does do all the Ladbrokes adverts now.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
The Ladbrokes adverts on gold is him just watching TV and laughing. That's the whole thing he did for an advert.
It's insane how famous people make money now.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would want to see, I don't know if it would work, but I would want to see Tom Allen, the comedian Tom Allen.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the weirdest thing you could ever see, but it would just be funny because it's like out in the ordinary. Just
Tom Allen. Know what? You're right, it would. It would. Yeah. I think that could be quite really funny.
Yeah, and because Bill Bailey being a vampire. Putting that out there, if Bill Bailey wants to make a cameo in What Do We Do in the Shadows.
So that could be it. If you wanted to start it off again as a British one, you could have it be like the three main vampires, choose three vampires, and then one of them bites Tom Allen. And Tom Allen moves in, and like he's such a big personality, because I don't think he could do the accent.
No,
like the Eastern European accent. So bring him in as like literally someone from Britain who's been bitten recently. And then he moves in and like just sort of like changes everything about. That could be quite fun.
And then what would be even funnier is if Matt Berry was in it again, like as in played another character, but played his character from IT Crowd.
Oh my God.
So he was in it as
Father!
So he walks into every room like, oh no! And then Chris Morris just walks in and goes, hello. Because instead of him dying, he'd been bitten. It's an alternate universe. I think
that would be funny.
IT Crowd, but they're all vampires. What do we do in the IT?
We just bring Nofield in. That's all we do. Just bring Nofield in.
Yeah.
Why didn't we think of that sooner?
Well, he looks a lot like the vampires do in the film.
He does.
I don't know if he had seen the film. I don't know if the film came out before they made IT Crowd.
Oh, no. The film was 2014, so that's way after.
Yeah. But I think what's really good about Taika Waititi that I was saying something to someone the other day was how the programme, how he makes stuff, but he's always in it at some point. So it's like Alfred Hitchcock. He's always a walkthrough, or Stan Lee was always in it, and that he's always appeared in.
Just like a cameo.
Yeah, yeah. And he was even in the original Hulk TV series.
Yeah.
And so I quite like that because it means that he likes his stuff he makes, but he wants to be in it. Because he was in Free Guy. If you've seen Free Guy, you probably have because of your filming podcast. Watched it recently when it came onto Disney Plus, but he's in it. I don't know whether he directed it, but he's in it.
Wait, who's in it?
Taika Waititi.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's the villain, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, so he's in it. And I'm not saying he's a brilliant actor and he's a brilliant director, but I just like how he does everything. It just works so well. And this film shows how much him and Jermaine really care about it, because they were really good friends. Now, the only issue I have with Taika is that he's so busy, and so is Jermaine, the worst people to try and interview, because they're so busy. They've got no time to look at me message. I sent Taika Waititi a Facebook message.
No, I respect the hustle.
I sent Jermaine Clements a tweet. Now, whether or not he's seen the tweet, because apparently my tweets get like 175 people looking at it. It might be because they're tagging the people I'm trying to interview.
Me and David tried to get in touch with Colin Farrell.
Oh.
That didn't work. We also tried to get in touch with director Martin McDonagh. We sent his agency an email, and we got a response, and it said no.
That's what they do to me sometimes. They say they say that the person that you've asked to interview said they're really sorry. So the agent said, really sorry, but no, he doesn't do interviews anymore. He was doing interviews 3 weeks ago, but not anymore.
Was doing interviews until about 20 minutes ago, until you sent this email, and then no, not anymore.
Not anymore. But so the film, I think the film, if the programme never existed and none of it wasn't a franchise and the film was on its own, I reckon that would be one of those films that in a few years' time would be in some film archive somewhere.
Even when it came out, people were like, this is amazing. It was so well received when it came out, which is why it, like, Taika Waititi's career blew up after this. Yeah. And why it became like this global franchise now. But yeah, if nothing happened with it, it'd be that kind of film that in 10 years' time we'd get a sequel for it. And everyone would be clamoring for like this, the sequel to what we do in the Shadows.
Yeah, because they're doing a sequel to Beetlejuice.
I swear they tried to get Tim Burton to do that back in the 90s, and he pitched them like the worst idea possible so they wouldn't do it.
Well, because what I don't want to happen, which fingers crossed doesn't, but with Beetlejuice, that was a really good film, then they turned into a musical, and then made a sequel film. Now, what do we do in the Shadows? Doesn't need a musical. We don't need a musical. Have a musical episode where Matt Berry's singing by himself. Yes. But not
sure.
But not a musical about the... No, we don't have a Taika Waititi sing. No, I'm not saying he's a bad singer or anything.
I want to suck your blood.
I just don't want... It's like... I don't want... It's like the film works really well. And if we ruin it with other... What people will have been worried about is the whole, will the programme ruin the film? Will none of it work very well?
Yeah.
But as we know, they both stand up on their feet by themselves, because technically, the programme, the reboot of the film, technically.
But... Yeah, that's what I was worried about. I didn't watch the show for ages, because I was like, they're just going to redo it, rehash it, and it's just not going to be as good. Mm. And then my dad watched it and he said, Xander, trust me, it's not that. It's very different.
Yeah.
And so I watched it and I was like, okay, yeah, this is pretty great. It's
brilliant. But the one thing that makes it funny for the UK broadcast is that they accidentally left in the FX logo at the beginning.
Yeah. They do, yeah.
I don't know whether that was... Because they did that on Rose Masifeo, who's a comedian. On her special, they left in the HBO Max logo intro.
I think that's just because they produce it, so like they've got to keep it in for legal reasons. Yeah. It's all on What We Do in the Shadows is all on Disney Plus now, isn't it?
Yeah. So people were a little bit disappointed when they saw that, because they thought Series 3 would have been added along with it, because Series 3's got like 2 episodes left.
Yeah, I didn't realize it had even started coming out again. I was like, whoa, okay.
On the Facebook groups, you have to scroll past really quickly because you don't want to be spoiled. And that's what people have done. So a lot of these groups now have had all UK and non-US viewers all leave the groups.
Wow.
Because it's like, we're getting it in December.
Oh, okay.
So we have to wait because they have to finish broadcasting. Then the BBC have to pitch if they want the rights. So then Disney Plus then will probably have to... back and forth whether who wants.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you know where it's coming in December?
No, there's no official date. We just know it's December because it's how it did it with Series 1 and 2.
Right, okay.
A few months after. But I don't think the programme was well advertised, because I didn't know it was on BBC iPlayer until someone had pointed out
Yeah, no, me neither.
So they need to spend more money on the advertising. Because when they did the Disney Plus star event, when they went through all the programs that were coming on, they clearly stated that one of them on the path through was What Do We Do in the Shadows, because it's an FX show. And I think a lot of FX shows are now leaving mainstream TV and being on there. So like American Horror Story and Walking Dead are all on
Disney. Yeah, Walking Dead now. Yeah, that's weekly on Disney Plus now. Yeah.
I don't think Walking Dead would work in a mockumentary format.
Oh, God. Me and my house have started rewatching it.
I've actually seen it.
I just can't be dealing with it. It's just so long. There's 11 seasons now. Only 11th season. And there's so much filler. There's so much useless stuff in there. It winds me up. Sorry, we're not talking about The Walking Dead. Sorry.
Well, I mean, what the film does, that every... So the film says, this is a film about vampires, but we're not a horror film. We're not like anything before it. So you're not going to watch one of the Hammer horror films and think, oh, this is what Do We Do in the Shadows is going to be. What Do We Do in the Shadows is the comedy and the Hammer horror. I wouldn't say it's scary. I don't know if filming and podcast will ever watch it, and I highly recommend you do. A film called Vampire Circus. Now,
Vampire Circus.
Let's just say, What Do We Do in the Shadows film is more scarier than Vampire Circus. It's about a circus that rocks up where Dracula's, this is a family-friendly podcast, and Film Ian can look at it in its weird entirety. There's bits in it that make no sense. And I think What Do We Do in the Shadows film works better than an actual horror film from the 70s. It's on BritBox, and I mean, it's well worth watching. I had to watch it for college work because he said watch a horror film. So I just thought I'll watch Vampire Circus, and I regretted every moment of it.
Yeah, that looks a bit weird. I might check that out. That's weird. Love a weird film.
Yeah, watch the trailer and then watch it and then think. I think What Do We Do in the Shadows is more scary than an actual film trying to be scary.
See, that's it. So with this film is so based in comedy.
Mm.
Can you still call it a horror comedy? Because it's dealing with things that are from a horror background, like vampires and werewolves, and there's zombies as well in this.
I think if you look at it from a critical point of view and more of a point of view from a filmmaker and people that are categorizing it, I would call it a horror comedy. Not it might not have the horror in it, but because it's or the horror characters, you have to so on Disney Plus.
Yeah, 100%.
In Disney Plus, they put it in the Halloween section.
Yeah, because it's
vampire-y.
That's it. That's the one.
Yeah. Now, a bit in this podcast that we might do some weeks, we might not do. We're going to look now at the actual bits from the filmmaker's point of view, from the angle of the camera, is the bit which we've already mentioned with the blood splattering going everywhere when Taika Waititi's character is trying to drink this woman, it's gone everywhere, it's made a mess with all the newspaper. I think that's one of the best things they've done, because because obviously it's probably one of those like bags of blood where if you bite it goes out, but it just because of the angle of it works really well. Is there anything in this film that you sort of see from a point of view from the like filmmakers that sort of didn't not like work, like you could sort of see, oh, that's how they do that, or there's a small error?
Not that I think it didn't work, just I know how they did certain things. You can see how they've done it. So when they've got the vampire hunter in the basement and Peter's twisted his neck round and he's on the floor dead, and they try and they say, oh, his head's the wrong way around. Hang on, let's turn it round. And so they turn his head, but as it turns, they zoom in real close to his head and then zoom out again, and then suddenly his head's the right way around. So that's obviously... they've dressed him up the wrong way around, had him lay down on the floor, and then as they've turned his head, they've zoomed in, stopped the camera, turned his clothes around, put him back down, and then unzoomed the camera, and then all suddenly he's there. So that's a clever way to get around that, to make it still look authentic and like in one shot.
And I think when they're flying, I don't know if it's what they actually did, but I feel like they use like fish wire and that.
Yeah, it's just wires. That's all it is, wires, yeah.
Yeah, and you can sort of sometimes clearly tell.
And that is one of my favourite moments really early on, just a really little moment when right at the start when they start arguing about the dishes and Deacon and Taika Waititi are arguing and they sort of start hissing at each other and they get up and then Deacon comes back down and Taika is let down on the table and his knees are on the table. He's like, oh no, sorry. It's just like clearly like the wires have dropped in too close in.
Yeah.
And it's just, yeah, and they just left it in. It just looks really funny.
And what I quite don't think would work ever is this film in 4K. I don't think it would work.
No, too low budget for that.
Because I saw a video and it's really interesting. So when you film something, you have it in the frame. So everything that happens is happening in the frame. And sort of like sometimes you cut out bits. So in it, you see everything that's happening in the frame. Now, in Buffy, they filmed it in a way that where they had the characters off the frame, out the frame, to make it more spooky because they knew they were doing it in a terror format.
Yeah.
But once one of the studios made it into HD and widescreen, and so there's bits where Buffy would be talking and talking off screen, or there's something happening off screen. In the widescreen version, you see her standing there because she, or there's like errors, there's like a mic or someone's left a phone out.
Yeah,
because when they did it originally, it wasn't supposed to be there, and so there's like scenes where you have someone in the distance talking and they're supposed to walk in really slowly. In the widescreen version, you can see them really clearly and they shouldn't be there. Or there's a vampire that's supposed to be hidden, but he's clearly behind her.
Yeah, like the it's a similar thing. Like, do you remember what happened with The Simpsons when it came on Disney?
Yeah, and they had the whole widescreen issue.
Yeah, so for the people who don't know, what happened was so The Simpsons was made in that the square format for TV at the time, and then when it's gone on Disney Plus to make it look like it's widescreen, it's because obviously they can't make it wider because it's animated, so they only have literally what they had. So to make it wider, they just zoomed in and chopped the tops off, so it looked widescreen still.
Yeah.
And of course, with The Simpsons, in every single frame, there's an extra joke. And so people were so angry. And so Disney have put an option on The Simpsons now to watch in the original format, which is the box version, which is the one I'm watching at the moment. And it looks so much better.
I mean, I started rewatching it and then thought I've got too much else to watch. I should knock it on its head for a little bit.
Oh, see, I'm doing it at the moment. I'm deep in season 4 now. It's so funny.
Well,
it's really funny.
I was watching it and then I thought to myself, I need to go and continue watching Classic Doctor. I'll be here forever with that. Because that lasted for like 78 series or something. Classic Who.
Yeah, there's a lot of Classic Who, to be fair.
There's so much of it. And I say to myself, do I want to watch The Simpsons? Because Simpsons, we're going to put on series 31 very soon.
Yeah.
And so that's what's interesting, because with Taika Waititi not being American and all this, Wonder Woman in the Shadows only lasts for 10 episodes instead of so many. And what I've heard, a little Dickie Bird told me, or Robert Carlyle mentioned it in a statement about the new Trainspotting series that's coming out, that saying that the format of 22 episodes might be disappearing in America. They might be going back.
Yeah, 100%. It's only good for things like procedurals where there's not really much thought put into it, and like, or like sitcoms where it's just like, okay, we've just got to pump something out. Whereas if you wanted to tell a real story, you don't. 22 episodes is too many.
Yeah.
It's too many. And you're just going to fill it. You're just going to be so much filler. So, like, for me, for a series, either there's three ideals. It's 6, 10, or 13.
Yeah.
And I think those should be the brackets. With, like, a British sitcom, 6 episodes is, like, phenomenal.
Brilliant.
We've got our 6, we've got our episodes, but we want more.
Yeah.
10 episodes for, like, a mystery thing or, like, a action show, yeah, like, something like that. 13, I don't know, you can decide. Whatever you want. Whatever you want, honey.
Yeah. That's what Taika Waititi does perfectly. Because Taika Waititi doesn't do many TV shows. He's not a TV man. But when he did this, he stuck with 10 episodes because it's like, you can only do so much. A documentary doesn't last forever. You don't need 22-minute episode of a documentary about some tiger that's walking from one end of the forest to another end.
Yeah, no. Yeah. 10 episodes a season for the new show is, perfect.
Yeah. And so, to to end off our chat about the film, on a vampiric scale from Taika Waititi, which is probably a 1, to a... not saying either 1, but just on a scale from 1 to 10, you have to
okay, yeah, I'm with you.
Think of a normal scale, from a scale from 1 to 10, from a 1 being Taika Waititi, and from a 10 being, let's say, Jermaine Clement, right? So on a scale from Taika Waititi to Jermaine, or Jermaine to Taika Waititi, whichever way you want to perceive it, what is your fang rating?
Okay, this is very convoluted, but I love it. Yeah. I'd say my fang rating is much closer to Jermaine Clement.
Oh.
I'm gonna give it I'm gonna give it 48 fangs out of a possible 7 million.
Well, right, and so I'll give it a round off of 50 fangs.
50 fangs.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot of fangs.
Yeah. So. And I'll briefly explain. So what's happening in the next episode is we'll be talking about series 1, episode 1 of the film spin-off of Wellington Paranormal. Now, because my co-host has never actually seen the programme, we'll be taking it from a point of view that I'm re-watching it and he's never seen it. So it will be able to see a raw first thoughts of it. Now, if you want to watch the programme yourself for Wellington Paranormal and you live in the UK, it's all on Sky Comedy. If you live in New Zealand, it's on TVNZ, I think, or it might be in a different place. But go and watch it. Well worth it. Now, what I recommend you do with these podcasts is don't listen to them until you've seen the product beforehand. So watch the film before you listen to this. Watch the programme and that. So, I have enjoyed this and we'll be back very soon talking more about it. But in the very next episode, whilst we talk about 3 series of Wellington Paranormal, we'll be going on a paranormal scale instead of a fang rating, because fang rating is the vampire-related stuff and the
I like it.
For a paranormal thing.
You've thought this out, I like it.
Now, this episode has come out in the correct month, the spooky month of Halloween. Woo!
So spooky scary.
Spooky. And so the very next episode will be coming to you whenever. Now, we haven't got a schedule for these because it's all dependent on when we're both available and what we're both up to.
We're busy people. We're busy people.
Very busy people. But if you want to hear more from Xander, where can they listen to more of your things to get more Xander goodness?
Well, I'm the host of the Filming and Podcast. And that is available on Apple Music, Spotify, and Amazon Music. You can also head on over to our Facebook page and Instagram page at Official Film Me and Pod, where we post clips from the episodes every week and put little posters on there made by our wonderful friend Rebel Hoovian. So thanks for starting this with me. It's been a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to watching this new show.
Quick thing, don't you have a YouTube channel as well? I do remember you having a YouTube channel.
We do, and I've actually sent off an audio clip to a friend of ours, Mr. Alex Woods, who's in a band Flat Moon. Go check them out, they're really great. And he's actually working on an edit for a video at the moment.
Wow.
Which is very exciting. So you heard it here first. That's an exclusive just for you.
Wow. So, one last thing before we do leave, the theme tune for this podcast. Now, if you're watching this when it first gets uploaded, right, fingers crossed, the theme tune will be a piano version of the What Do We Do in the Channel theme tune. So it basically means there's some bloke that's been playing it, but then missed a few notes to make it sound a little bit off. But it works. But if you listen to it second time round, you're probably listening to royalty-free YouTube music because it's a quicker thing I could do to fix the issue whilst I work on an actual theme tune because I want to get theme tunes correct. Now, I don't want to talk to you with me singing the theme tune, and the theme tune is from the 70s.
You're dead out of this world.
I think that this works. Now, before we do end, I do like to recommend you a podcast. Now, if you like listening to What Do We Hear in the Shadows, I recommend What Do We Say in the Shadows, which is a podcast all about the TV version. That's why we're better than them. Trust me. We've got more content and more knowledge than them because they're only
so much more knowledge,
yeah,
so much more strength, and so much more integrity.
Now, if we get enough viewers on this podcast, we will be creating an email so you can email in your questions and email in your thoughts. But that's only if we get enough feedback and enough people listening and watching to warrant an email, because I don't want to create an email and get no emails.
That'd just be really sad.
And so, if you want to see more from me, obviously watch The Weird Side, but also watch all my other stuff. Brand new episode coming very soon of Time Lords.
Woohoo! Hey, exciting.
But brand new, it'd be all different to episode one. It'd be magical, there'd be bits added to it, there'd be new stuff. Woo! But I'm
excited. I'm very excited to watch that.
I'm in your host, Tom Mason.
Oh, and I'm your co-host, Sander Langwiston.
See, that's how come we're very good co-hosts. We work very well side by side. And thank you for listening to What We Hear in the Shadows.
What We Hear in the Shadows.
Woo!
I did it that time.
Yeah. A fan-made podcast all about What Do We Do in the Shadows. Available on BBC iPlayer and Disney Plus. Thank you for watching, and I'll see you very soon. Bye.
See you later, guys. Bye.
Thank you, YouTube, for watching. Don't forget to subscribe. Bye. Tatty bye. Tatty bye.